Welcome to the I3 podcast hosted by the Staff Development and Training Division of the South Carolina Department of Social Services. Our I3 podcast is a space where we as social service professionals can imagine, ideate, and discuss innovative ways to improve policy, practice, and the culture within our profession. If you have a passion for, or you feel called to serve others, then the I3 podcast is a place for you to learn, grow, and explore creative possibilities that could help improve the way in which you help others. With that said, I invite you to be present during our time together and allow your creative energy to flow as we discuss various topics in the field of social services. Hello, and welcome to this episode of I3 Podcast. This is a space where we imagine, ideate, and innovate. Our guest today is Dr. Anita Ketpel. She's a board-certified psychiatrist who specializes in child and adolescent psychiatry. Dr. Ketpel has worked with the South Carolina Department of Social Services for the past 8 years, and she works with other entities as well. Dr. Ketpel, thanks for joining us on I3 today. This is a place where, as you know, where we seek to both educate and provoke our audiences to become vulnerable enough to dream about innovative ideas to improve the work that we do. With that said, as we approach the holidays, which oftentimes can bring a number of emotions, I wanted to discuss a very important topic related to self-care, namely that of mindfulness. As a licensed psychiatrist, I'd like for you to take us on a journey or an exploration of mindfulness in the realm of self-care and the importance of being mindful in the work that we do each and every day. So, Dr. Ketpel, what inspired you on your journey to dive deep into mindfulness for yourself, for your own self-care?
Thanks for inviting me to speak on this much-needed topic of mindfulness and self-care. I do want to say, though, that before we reflect on mindfulness as self-care, we want to be sure to recognize that self-care comes before we care for others, and self-care is not selfish. Self-care ultimately transforms into care for others, as we do best when we are energized and not depleted. We all agree that we can't give anyone anything if our bucket is empty. It's like we have an empty pitcher and we go out to fill someone's glass with water. It ain't going to happen, right?
No, that's not going to happen. And oftentimes we do try to pour into others without filling ourselves and recharging ourselves. I see this as an opportunity to really teach individuals how to reset, re-energize, and recharge. Now, for our audience, I'd like to ask you why you chose the topic of mindfulness for our podcast on self-care, because there are other topics that go into self-care, but you selected mindfulness. What brought you to that point?
Yes, that's a good question. What does mindfulness have to do with self-care? How does mindfulness recharge our mind and restore the mind balance? If we bring our awareness to stories our mind runs all day, we would notice that our mind is full of past and future. Often we would find that we are thinking of what happened, what didn't happen, perhaps self-criticism, if not judging others or events, running nonstop, going and going. Can we take it anymore, or do we need to refuel, recharge, reset? Yes, refuel, recharge, reset. I would repeat that because it is so critical. I like to pause here and ask if anyone has listened, and I mean listened mindfully, what is the script that runs over and over in our mind and wondered why we feel the way we feel. That is what mindfulness does. It makes us aware of what we are thinking, doing, and feeling so we can be more aware and in charge of what we like to think, do, and henceforth feel. It helps us be in the present moment, beyond the baggage of the past and the worries of the future. I mean, fully present in each moment and see things with clarity, rather than clouded by our past experiences, judgments, and biases. It helps us to recognize clearly, say, someone's suffering and their trauma, and see them beyond their actions that may be a manifestation of their cry for help. And this in turn helps us to be trauma-informed and help heal others with compassion.
That is phenomenal information that you're sharing, Dr. Ketpel. our minds do remain cluttered if we don't intentionally become mindful. And the work that we do is so crucial as we deal with the public and our fellow South Carolinians. We need to be intentional about clearing our minds and being fully present. And this topic of mindfulness really allows us to do so. So with that said, what I'm going to do is take a slight detour here and ask, just out of curiosity, how does mindfulness, from your perspective, fit into the overarching agency vision here at the South Carolina Department of Social Services?
Gary, I'm so glad you asked that. For this, what better than to reflect upon our recent i3 podcast by Director Leach on Imagine, Ideate, and Innovate. I want to attest, like many others out in the field, that my best innovative ideas have come in moments of silence, early in the morning, and I mean early in the morning, when I am at my calmest and most mindful. Now, not everyone wakes up early, so how do we get there in that state of calmness and moments of peace during our work that, as Director Leach defined as being fast-paced? Do we have the time to be mindful when our mind is full of things? I believe this is possible with practicing mindfulness throughout the day, with tips that I would share in this podcast that may not take but a moment here and there. And more than tips, there are mindfulness attitudes that we can carry with ourselves that help us stay calm in the storm.
That is great. That's great. And I really love this topic of mindfulness because it coincides with our coaching model that we're implementing agency-wide titled Coach Approach. And within this coaching model, it teaches skills on being both mindful and remaining present when conversing with our teams, with our staff, but also for ourselves. I believe before we go any further, I'm sure that our audience wants to know, how do you really define the term mindfulness and what does that mean to you?
Yes, of course. As the leader in this field, John Kabat-Zinn defines it as, mindfulness is paying attention in the present moment on purpose in a non-judgmental way. It is paying attention with kindness and curiosity to what is unfolding in the present moment. It is being fully awake and aware in our lives and perceive each moment more vividly. Mindfulness helps us access our inner insight for transformation and healing. We gain insight that heals and transforms us. We see life through a new lens that is not clouded by past experiences that are long begun or dwell in the future, fears that may or may not happen. It is in those moments of mindfulness when we have access to our imagination and innovative ideas, imagining to do something new, getting beyond our sticking points, moving with the flow, or creating something new. I believe, as I have learned, that everything is built twice, once in our brain and once in our actions. How can we create something internally if we have a clouded mind versus a calm, alert mind?
The information that you're sharing brings to mind just looking through optics and different lens that we have from the baggage that we bring to the table from past experiences and things that we think about on a daily basis. So this is really something that is critical for ourselves here at the Department of Social Services because we have to really clear our minds so that we can assess situations and circumstances on an individual basis and not lump everything into one broad stroke, so to speak. Those are some very powerful concepts that you're sharing, Dr. K, with us regarding being very intentional. And I really want to emphasize that word intentional because it doesn't happen by itself. About paying attention and being present so that we truly are living in the moment with ourselves and with others. Is there any research, really, to support this idea of mindfulness for those that were thinking, well, how do I know if this really works that you're sharing today?
Yes, of course. We now can say there is ample research and emerging ongoing research that also indicate that meditation and mindfulness practices lead to experiences that affect our brain structure and functioning. Meditation enhances the mind, body awareness, and attention, attention to detail that is so essential in order for us to perform well at work. Mindfulness, when practiced, helps us to respond versus react to situations that arise. This helps us remove our biased lenses and see things more clearly and respond with our utmost intelligence of what is right to do versus what feels right based on our past programming. Not to say that mindfulness reduces loneliness. How many of you have heard about this being a new national crisis? And here I'm going to take a moment and go over what U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy said. Our epidemic of loneliness and isolation has been an underappreciated public health crisis that has harmed individual and societal health. Our relationships are a source of healing and well-being hiding in plain sight, one that can help us live healthier, more fulfilled, and more productive lives. Mindfulness helps us regulate our emotions so we can monitor and modify arousal and reactivity and engage in adaptive behavior. And last but not least, live life more vividly as we will find ourselves living more in the present moment, and our present moment is the only one we have.
Thank you so much for bringing that quote from the U.S. Surgeon General. When you talked about that our relationships are a source of healing and well-being hiding in plain sight. One of the concerns that I have is social media and how that really impacts the psyche of individuals and keeps them in a space of isolation, and they don't venture out to develop those relationships face-to-face that can be a source of healing and that can be a place where well-being can take place for them. So I think we have to be cognizant of that as well. So thank you for bringing that into the room. Dr. K, there are some interventions that I know that you have relative to mindfulness that can help us recharge our batteries regularly. And I know that we have to do this on an intentional basis because, again, it does not happen by itself. So truly help us as human beings begin to rewire and restore our inner balance by sharing some of the interventions related to mindfulness that you know that are effective, please.
Yes, of course, Gary. I'm so glad you kind of realize how important it is. And of course, this is what this podcast is about, to bring forth those interventions. Now, mindfulness interventions come in many forms, so you can pick and choose what suits us the most, what resonates with us, and what fits in our daily lifestyle and purpose, what we want to accomplish, right? So mindfulness can be achieved by practicing, say, breathing slowly and mindfully. Maybe practicing these mini meditations, what we call small M's, versus the big M, which is the main meditation we do, maybe in a group setting or kind of, you know, do it at a length, and or time set aside alone or in a group to do meditation or mindful yoga and mindful moment that goes along with it. Then we also have mindfulness-based stress reduction programs, such as 6 to 12-week programs, and one of them is being offered by our own employee assistance program, which provides for more in-depth experience on this. There are also short guided practices, such as you may have heard through websites or apps such as Calm or CBTI Coach. But my most favorite is mindfulness in daily life, incorporated into our living with maybe mindful walking, mindful eating, mindful driving, or as some have shared, mindful dishwashing. Okay. I've truly heard a lot of people saying they get most mindful when they wash dishes. So as you can see, you don't necessarily have to have time to do this. Though if you do set aside time and meditate, that definitely results in much better outcomes. Just one major shift of slowing to be mindful. Whenever you find yourself rushing, running, for example, taking a slow, mindful drive to work versus you may be focused on when would I get there? So you're rushing through your drive. Or you could be enjoying each bite of food you eat versus as if you are drinking your food fast. So you can see that you can incorporate mindfulness into your daily life by just slowing and being mindful of what you are doing.
Now, this is good. This is really good information that you're sharing with us today. That mindful driving, that's something that I'm going to have to try myself, because driving can be a little stressful these days with the growing population here in our state. I'm also eager to know, what else can we do in regards to being mindful as opposed to having a mind full of clutter? Thinking about work, thinking about relationships, thinking about a host of things. You talked earlier about mindfulness attitudes. But help us understand what that means by explaining some of these attitudes to our audience.
Yes, of course. And those are my favorites, I would say. These attributes or attitudes of mindfulness are something that can be integrated into our daily routines. That, to me, is the most practical way to incorporate something in our busy lives, and that can melt stress like no other things, as this helps change the way we think. Though they seem simple, the benefits are enormous, particularly when you practice them with some mindfulness exercises. Remember, reading about mindfulness is like scratching your foot through the shoe. It is not until you practice some of these mindfulness exercises with these attitudes incorporated in our daily life that we may see slow but steady change. This includes concepts such as letting go, non-striving, acceptance, non-judging, patience, trust, and beginner's mind. I'm sure our critical mind must be thinking, why should I let go? What do you mean by non-struggling? Would I become passive? To help us understand this and have a buy-in into this, I invite you to call into action your curious beginner's mind. That is a mindset that is as clean as a child's slate, a non-judging side of you, to help understand and then decide for yourself through that critical thinking the way and the why behind these concepts. I can tell you that if you don't believe in some of this, it is going to be hard to have a commitment, self-discipline, and being intentional to our practice of mindfulness to bear the fruit. One of key attitudes of mindfulness, besides having a curious mind, is maintaining what is called the being mode. So what is the being mode? So this is something we define that rather being in an autopilot or doing mode, being mode is waking up to the here and now and being in the present moment and living in our awareness. To help explain this, let's wonder if you can see through a running lake. I'm sure your answer would be no. Now, can you see through a still lake? Yes, of course. That is what the being mode does. It not only rests our constantly running mind, but also helps us see through clearly what lies beneath. When waters are calm, you can see through what lies beneath. In the stillness, we can hear inside and outside. From moment to moment, just let go and be there in the being mode, in that silent space. Being mode helps us with paying attention or noticing things. Remember, when you are in the being mode, you're not looking for right or wrong answers. Perhaps just being there and observing the inner traffic and stories our mind tells and explore where that came from, maybe. Perhaps then you may gain inner insight and reflect in order to get that transformation, maybe bringing it together and moving forward. Some of you might resonate with this. In order to do, you have to be. This being mode can be practiced by being aware of our breath and appreciating the air we breathe, the bodies we live in, the moments we cherish with our loved ones, perhaps being with the waves of water as they crash on the shore, watching them as life unfolds moment to moment, pulling back from that autopilot mode of constantly running, driven by old habits, to taking a break and just being in the present moment, taking a pause and just being in this moment.
Really like the being mode. That's the first time I've heard of that, but it really makes so much sense. Just being in the present moment, understanding that that's all that we have control over. And not allowing things such as the past or future aspects of our lives to really take control of being in that moment. So I'm going to embrace, if I don't embrace anything else out of what you're sharing with us today, I'm certainly going to embrace the being mode, because as I stated earlier, social media and those types of things constantly grasp for our attention, but we need to make sure that we are comfortable just being present in ourselves and not being so distracted that we never have an opportunity to be in that being mode. So this is both interesting and powerful information that you're sharing today. In the work that we do, it's challenging at best to learn how to be in the moment, but to be our best selves for ourselves and also for others, we have to take better care of ourselves. And that's what this episode is all about, imagining and ideating and having some innovative, provocative thought about how can we take better care of ourselves? What are some other attitudes that will help us to be mindful from your perspective?
Yes, of course. My next favorite is the beginner's mind. That is exploring things with a beginner's mindset or curiosity and kindness. Our beliefs and what we think we know prevents us from seeing what things really are and perhaps appreciating the ordinary. The beginner's mind is as if you are seeing something for the first time with all your curiosity, which is what makes the experience so rich. Similarly, if we see people and situations outside of our labels and expectations based on our past beliefs, it helps to be receptive to the newness of something or someone. That way, we may see and form new relations. When we say we know, that shuts us down. Our thought process about what we may find out about others that may actually change our equation with them. We need to cultivate this beginner's mind in our daily living. Maybe you can try it with people around you. Fresh look, fresh eyes. If someone does something for you in the present moment, see that person in that present moment doing that rather than discrediting their action based on past views about that person that we often do. Fresh look, fresh eyes. Try it in the problems that arise. You can practice this brain muscle of beginner's mind by sometimes just staring at the stars, water, stones, or if seeing for first time when you were a kid. And that's funny that I say that, but how many times we stare at the butterfly when we notice one? Mm-hmm. Or how often do we look at the stars? I remember one of the businessmen kind of noting that he had not looked at the stars in 10 years. So as you can see, if we stop looking at things, we stop enjoying the beauty around us or noticing things that are all around us. Then there is an attitude of being non-judgmental. This entails not judging even the judgments we have about things, people, and ourselves. As you start paying attention to your mind and the flow of the traffic, you would notice that we may be constantly judging ourselves, others, and situations, comparing with other experiences, perhaps. Holding self and others to our expectations, maybe, and the standards that we have created, often out of fear. We may be having thoughts such as, I'm not good enough. Bad things will happen to me. Good things won't last long enough. And perhaps reacting based on these judgments that adds to our turmoil and misery. Competition, they say, is the mother of misery. And I don't mean to dissuade from healthy competition with ourselves to better ourselves. I mean, comparing ourselves with others to feel miserable is what we want to avoid. Perhaps even judging our judgment and judging our meditation. I had better meditation yesterday. Am I doing it right today? This breathing is boring. I can't do it anymore. And you can see how these judgments can really set us back. Mindfulness is cultivated by pulling back for a few moments and just watching the flow of thoughts as an impartial witness. In our coach approach, they describe this as being in the balcony, watching without pursuing these thoughts, watching whatever comes without judging, without labeling. Let it be. Recognize these are judgments and reminding to just watch as an impartial witness. No need to judge the judging either. Perhaps practicing to watch your breath and then your thought. You are strengthening your nerve to be able to watch without getting entangled in ruthless judgments. Our thoughts are mostly inaccurate, I must say. Mere opinions, prejudices based on the past conditioning from our experiences. Watching them happen leads to greater non-judgmental receptivity and acceptance. Much greater clarity in our lives, seeing things as they really are.
Yes.
Another attitude, which is one of most important attributes, is responding versus reacting. This helps us bring awareness to moments of reacting and helps us explore options for responding with greater mindfulness, creativity, and compassion. To do this, I invite you to try to bring your awareness to your stress reactions without trying to change them. See if you can notice the flow of your thoughts, emotions, outside, and when you have feeling of being stuck or of blocking, numbing, or shutting off to the moment when it happens.
That is such rich dialogue that you're having with us today. You mentioned letting go. And I know that many people, including myself, have a problem with letting go of past experiences, past memories, so that I can remain in the present moment and enjoy the present moment and be at my best, be my best self, so to speak, in this present moment. When you talk about letting go, does that mean we let go of things and we absolutely do nothing about it? What are your thoughts on that concept of letting go so that we can truly be our best selves?
I'm so glad you ask about that, as this question comes out very often. By letting go, we mean letting go of past fears and future worries, things we don't want to hang on to. Remember, wherever you go, there you are. Here I'm going to talk about two concepts, letting go and acceptance, as many of these are linked together. Our mind gets attached to and holds on to certain thoughts, good or bad. Some events we want to hold on to if they give us a pleasure, and some we try to get rid if they are painful, right? We get attached to our painful and pleasant memories as they are tied or linked to our emotions. Thoughts emerge and get stuck as we link them with judgments, emotions, and what they mean to us. We don't tend to hold what we find neutral, right? A thought can be too powerful, as it may have links in our memory lane or is attached to emotions, good or bad. Our memory guru in our brain, hippocampus, sits next to amygdala. So anything with strong emotions from amygdala tends to sit in our memory center or hippocampus, sometimes for too long, sometimes forever. In mindfulness, we cultivate learning to let things be, or accepting them as they are without dwelling deep into them. Observing as they are and accepting that our mind has a thought, but not chasing that thought. That's what helps let them go, just like clouds in the sky. Thinking of these thoughts coming as a cloud and leaving and just watching them. And even accept that our mind is judging and just observe. And in doing so, we let them go. When we don't dwell, when we don't think about them, we can let them go. When we have no attachments to that thought, no links are made, right? And we are able to let go. We practice letting things be without storing or holding on to everything. If we continue to hold on, we are more likely to be mindful of a lot of stuff, right?
That's right.
If we are still not able to let go, we may want to see what holding on means. We may or may not succeed in letting go of certain thoughts, but we say we are willing to look at it. And I'm going to give here an example that we are capable of letting go. A lot of you have noticed when you go to sleep, you're able to let go. So we are fully capable of letting go. It's just practice and being patient.
Yes, we have to practice that. You mentioned a very key word here, and that was acceptance. acceptance. So a lot of times when bad things happen in our lives or bad circumstances or experience, we certainly don't want to accept those things. When you speak of acceptance, does that mean we approve of all things, both good and bad? Help us unpack that a little bit.
Yes, I want to stress that acceptance is not synonymous with approving, but accepting that, yes, perhaps I am overweight or I'm losing hair. And rather fighting that thought and dwelling on it endlessly, on our possible limitations that expands our misery, just accepting this and maybe I would do something about it, or maybe this is my beautiful me, that is my normal for me, or something I accept as I age. Or again, like I said, we may do something about it. So accepting doesn't mean approving. It just means we don't fight that anymore. We accept the facts and the truth about it. We waste a lot of energy and get drained by denying and resisting what is factual information. Things may not be as we expect them to be, and the sooner we see things as they are, we get more clear picture as to what we can change and what we can't, and what, if any, we can do about it. And that's what acceptance means. Not denying, not fighting. Not accepting something creates more hurdles and drains our energy into how things should be, as we are denying their mere existence, such as aging beautifully, right? We all age, and yes, we have to accept that. With it comes a lot of wisdom and a lot of beauty that we often ignore when we are fighting, why am I aging? Mm.
That is tremendous. I appreciate it. Go ahead. Go forward.
Yeah. Acceptance don't mean being passive or giving up your values and tolerating things or not doing anything about them. Now, as we end, I invite you to give yourself permission to make a simple agreement in this moment of silence and pause to use mindfulness to help avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. Perhaps turn denial into acceptance, chaos into clarity, and live each moment being fully awake. And this is the beginning.
That is just a chock full of wealth and knowledge that you provide us with us today. I am just so grateful that you've taken time out to be with us today. I picked up so much from you. I learned so much about having a beginner's mindset, being in the being mode, understanding the intentionality behind mindfulness and how important that is to being my best self so that I can be what I desire to be for other people. Are there any last words that you want to share with our audience regarding either self-care or mindfulness that you haven't spoke on yet?
No, I think I covered very well. There were two attributes that we did not cover, the patience and believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. And those are very powerful as well. And I'm sure, you know, there is a lot we are still learning with our curious mind. And I thank deeply everybody for listening to this podcast. And if anybody can get even one attribute or attitude from it into their life, I will feel grateful.
Well, I think that we'll choose more than one because you shared quite a bit and we can all learn from this particular podcast because our world is such a fast-paced world these days and we have to intentionally slow down, re-energize, reflect, reset, so to speak. And we can only do that when we are mindful and we take our time and we intentionally block out everything else and be in the moment. So Dr. Ketpal, I just want to say thank you very much for sharing with us today. And you'll definitely be back on the podcast on i3 with us to share more wisdom so that we can glean from the years of experience and your education that you have. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Gary. Appreciate it tremendously.
Thank you for joining us today on our i3 podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please follow and subscribe to the show. And until next time, remember to make time during the day to imagine the possibilities of how you can improve the work that you do. Write down your ideas so that they become goals to strive for. And lastly, begin to engage in critical thinking about how you can implement your ideas through groundbreaking, innovative ways as we work together to improve the world in which we live.